listener-driven, never corporate-programmed. This is Independent Radio, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
You're listening to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM, bringing the issues of youth in and from care, from their lives to your minds.
Welcome to System Kids here on CKUW 95.9 FM. My name is Marie. I am a volunteer here with System Kids and Voices Manitoba's Youth and Care Network. And today we have our staff team joining us, Daniel and Lynn.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Hopefully everyone is well. I know we were spoiled last week with so many nice weather days. And this week is a little bit cooler, but hopefully everyone is still well and warm and safe. So, as I mentioned, we are from Voices, Manitoba's Youth and Care Network, which is the network for young people in and from care throughout Manitoba. We work primarily with young people ages 12 to 30, but we are more like 12-ish to 30-ish because if you are in or from care, this is your network, and we believe in fam by choice. If you're looking for the office, it is third floor, 61 Juno Street in Winnipeg. The phone number is 204-982-4956 or toll-free from anywhere in Manitoba, 1-866-982-4956. You can reach the team by email, ask@voices.mb.ca. Or find them on social media, on Instagram at Voices MYICN, on Facebook at Voices MB, or on X at Voices MYICN. All right, let us start with an icebreaker. We're going to do beefs and bouquets. So, Daniel and Lynn, who or what do you have a beef with, a grievance, and who or what do you want to give their flowers to?
Okay, for me, it's not a person, but my TV. Yeah, it's such a tragedy. Thing is, like, yeah, one of my dogs throw my TV to the ground one day, and the TV is dead now. I mean, it's broken now. So, yeah, it's really a grievable, like, thing. And yeah, my condolences to my TV.
Yes. And your bouquet, who or what are you giving a bouquet to?
It's to Gordon Ramsay.
Oh.
Because of his shows, it helped my dogs Rudy to find his natural instinct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good. Thank you, Gordon Ramsay, for all you do.
Well, Lynn's got a lot of beef, but today my beef is with my laptop. This, I don't know if it needs an update, if it needs to be scrubbed and cleaned, if it needs to be like blown out with compressed air, if I need like factory reset, I need IT. I don't know what's going on. It's just, it won't connect to the internet. It won't do the things. It freezes. I just, my laptop. Got beef today. And my bouquet, I am going to throw another plot twist in and say it's going to be a future bouquet for the IT guys that fix my laptop. Because if they can make this run smoothly again, I will buy them real flowers.
Nice. Well, my beef is with my cat today.
Nice.
He is so cute. He is so gangster. I love him. But he's just restless because of this colder weather. And so he's getting into everything. He's trying to get into the garbage to eat anything he can find, despite the fact that his food bowl is full. He's spilling over plants and he's spilling over the water. So I have a beef with my cat. But I will give bouquets to my friends because I was having a really hard day yesterday. And And out of the blue, because most times these days we often text and message or send memes to one another, but they actually called and I hadn't reached out, so I don't know, something in the energy of the world, of the atmosphere of the universe told them to call, and I'm very thankful they did. So bouquets to good friends who can just sense when you need to pick me up. All right. For February, Voices is as busy as always. The leadership team meets on Wednesdays from 4:30 to 6:30, October to June. The leadership team is open to young people in and from care, ages 14 to 24, who want to learn or practice different ways to be a leader. Alumni of care over the age of 24 who would like to take on a mentorship role are also welcome. Everyone will be formally registered as volunteers through BGC Winnipeg, and the cost of your criminal record and child abuse checks will be covered. So if this sounds interesting to you, call Lynn at Voices for more info. And again, we've got Manitoba Moose tickets available this month. The game is on February 14th. And if you would like to be considered for that draw, send Daniel at voices.mb.ca an email and get your name in the draw. It will probably be pulled maybe on Wednesday.
Yes, so if you have submitted enter the draw like earlier for the last game, you will be in the draw again. So you don't need to send me text again. But if you haven't enter yet, just let me shoot me an email or give us a call or DM us on social, and I will draw it on the Wednesday before. So it will be the 12th, February 12th for the latest one, and same to the game like the two games after, like just the Wednesday before.
The Wednesday before. Okay, so make
Yes.
sure you reach out and put your name in the draw if you're interested in going. Winners receive two tickets, one for yourself
Yes.
and one for a friend. Children's special allowance. You've been hearing us talk about that a lot over the last few weeks. Children's special allowance, the claim submissions are now open. They've been open since the beginning of January. So you can go to www.csasettlement.com for more information and to submit your claim. You can also print a paper copy to complete and send back, but that does take more time. So just realize that if you do it online, it's a little bit quicker. If you need help to do it online, or if you do want a paper copy, call Voices and they can help you either way, whichever method feels better to you. Now, here's a really juicy new one. Making the Shift International Conference on the Prevention of Youth Homelessness will be held in Toronto, Ontario, February 24th to 26th of this year. The Voices office will be closed for most of that week because Lynn and Daniel will be there and they will be presenting on the experiences of young people transitioning from care in Manitoba. And if you would like to share your thoughts or experiences to help inform that presentation and make sure it's truly Manitoba strong, then reach out to Lynn and she can either set up an interview time or what do you plan to do? Lynn, interviews, focus groups?
I was thinking interviews. I was thinking come on down to the Voices office, or I can come meet you somewhere and we'll grab a little snacky poo or have something to munch on and maybe some Pepsi and pizza pops or pickles or something that starts with a P would be great. And we'll just chat about what your experience was. I really like the one-on-one or two-on-one. I guess it'd probably be Daniel and I doing the meeting and the interview, but I like that setting a little bit more because while I think that it's really fun to have those large focus groups where we all get to sit and talk, us youth in care like to gab. We are gabbers. And oh my goodness, we can turn a 2-hour focus group into a 6-hour focus group very, very easily. So to make sure everything they want to share heard and voiced and to talk about whatever they want to talk about in a safe way without being triggered in any way, or to have a less of a chance of being triggered by someone else's experiences. So yeah, I'm thinking one-on-one, but if anyone would like to do a huge focus group and your voice matters and counts here, and if that's a style that you would prefer and we get enough interest, I'll do a focus group. We are running out of time, so let me know, like as soon as possible.
Yes, that would be great. And thank you so much for being courageous to take these stories and experiences to an international stage. And finally, Earl Cook Classic. This year is our 10th annual hockey game where young people in and from care take on our adult supports. or any adult support who's brave enough to face us on the ice. The game will be on Saturday, March 22nd, and players are needed for both teams. So right now, I would say we have Jay Rogers as team captain of the adult support team, and we have a good showing, I think, so far of young people who've expressed an interest of playing. So if you would like to play, please let Daniel know as soon as possible, and especially if you think that you're going to need skates or a helmet or a stick, the team can find those pieces of equipment for you. So register by Friday, March 14th. So that's our calendar for Voices for the month of February. If you have any questions or if you would like to see something on the calendar, if you're a young person in care and you're like, we need to do more wall climbing, call the team and let them know. 204-982-4956. All right, let's talk about rights. Let's talk about rights, baby. The United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child and the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. And this week we're looking at Article 11 of both. So, of the UNCRC, it says governments must stop children from being taken out of the country when this is against the law. For example, being kidnapped by someone or held abroad by a parent when the other parent does not agree. Oh, that's such an uncomfortable situation. Never mind even like internationally, just being stuck in the middle of parent conflict when you're in the same city is tough. For UNDRIP, Article 11 says Indigenous peoples have the right to practice and revitalize their cultural traditions and customs. This includes the right to maintain, protect, and develop the past, present, and future manifestations of their cultures, such as archaeological and historical sites, artifacts, designs, ceremonies, technologies, and visual and performing arts and literature. So, why are these rights important and how do they impact youth and care? I like to try to tie the two together, and this one was a bit of a stretch to pull together, but here's what I came up with. So, between the UNCRC talking about kidnapping, and UNDRIP talking about the right to preserve and practice your culture and traditions, having these things taken away from you by force causes pain and long-lasting impact. Kidnapping takes away from your sense of safety and security, and being unable to practice your culture and traditions takes away from your sense of connection to your past, present, and future. As my grandpa used to say, prevention is better than cure. So, as duty bearers, it's the responsibility of the government and caregivers to protect children and youth in care from experiencing these incredible losses.
Prevention is better than cure. I'm gonna have to remember that one. That one's really nice. And that's such a beautiful connection between the two. They're not beautiful topics because kidnapping and loss of culture are never beautiful things to happen. I'm not saying that at all, but I love your reflection.
Well, thank you. It's definitely a sense of loss, and sometimes you don't realize it in the moment. For example, I know as a young person being caught between adults who did not agree, not wanting to tell their story or anything, but as a child you're being pulled or forced to choose between one adult or the other, and you don't realize until years later what that experience, how that set with you, how that impacted you. And the same thing with folks who have been torn away from their culture and traditions. And we're seeing that now. And thankfully, we're seeing a lot of resurgence and reclamation in Indigenous communities. But for generations, they were torn from their culture and traditions and language. And we see the impact of that loss. So let's prevent that from happening going forward. We acknowledge that it happened. We have to acknowledge the truth that it happened and still happens. But let's do our best as communities, as now people in the adult support roles, let's do our best to not force children to have to cope with these incredible losses. All right. On that heavy note, let's take a song break. You're listening to System Kids here on CKEW 95.9 FM.
girl from Rooster Town. Where'd it get that name from? She said, look around. We went walking on the Métis ground, up before Gary, where the sun went down. Heard a fiddle play La Matisse, every note with pride jigging through the streets. Rustling spirits beneath our feet, Louis looking down in disbelief. Long ago, land that I love was stolen, sold, and I know Manitoba roams like the buffalo. What makes you a patriot of the white and red? She asked with folded arms and shaking her head. This ain't the first time and it won't be the last, if that maple leaf keeps blowing past. Long ago, the land that I love was stolen, sold, and I know Manitoba roams like a buffalo. How can one own mountains and claim the Great Plains? It's not okay with me. I wasn't born by this land. There's blood on my hands. I can't sit back and watch it. Long ago, the land that I love was stolen, sold, and I know Manitoba roams like the buffalo, yeah, roams like the buffalo.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to System Kit on CKUW 95.9 FM. And let's talk about community connections. So this week, our features is the Turning Point Youth and Family Counseling Service provided from Youth for Christ Winnipeg. So this service, they offer counseling, including individual families, marriage, and support. And also, like, it provides in-person virtual counseling sessions. So for eligibility, if you're adolescents, teens, parents, couples, families, yeah, you guys are qualified. For the fees, like, it's flexible. So yeah, the fees, like, they will determine with you. So give them a call and you guys can figure out, like, how much you have to pay for the counseling. It might be free. So the number is 204-669-4290, 204-669-4290, or visit their website for details about fees and the application process.
Awesome. Any resource that we can find for counseling and therapeutic support these days is so important because wait lists can be long.
Yes, and we talked with Youth for Christ like earlier this month, and they mentioned like the fees is like more based on your financial like situations. So yeah, just reach out to them and figure out like just it's better to reach out than not.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so for child welfare in the news, I was just, skimming the internet trying to find what we can find, and I found a picture of one of our networking sisters and thought, oh my gosh, well, let's look at this one. So this article is called It Takes a Child to Raise a Village, and it's in the Tyee, I think that's how you say it, Tyee, which is an online news site. And they're doing a series on child welfare in what they called so-called Canada. They put lots of quotation marks. So this was on their website, the tyee.ca, for January 16th. And it features Jessica Knutson, who is a survivor of the child and family services system and is now a social worker. So Canada's residential schools have divided Indigenous families for generations. The human rights abuses in those facilities divided families and contributed to intergenerational trauma and a vast overrepresentation of Indigenous children placed into the so-called child welfare system. Today, there is a wide-ranging network of survivors, advocates, and leaders who are working towards a new way forward. They are working to ensure Indigenous communities can assume jurisdiction over their own child and family well-being systems in Canada. Indigenous governing bodies can decide if they want to assume jurisdiction or partner with federal and provincial governments to ensure no Indigenous child gets left behind. Children and women are the heart of community, Jessica Knutson told the Tyee. Knutson is a survivor of the child welfare system and is now a social worker. It's so important and really significant that nations are able to use their own protocols to be able to care for their children. Indigenous nations should make decisions for their own children, she added, and that looks different for each nation. Traditionally, Indigenous peoples saw the care of a child as the responsibility of an extended family. When problems arose, the extended family would come together to support the child and try to come to consensus decision to solve the problem, the 1992 report Liberating Our Children says. The colonial way, separating children from their parents, was different and harsh. Your child protection laws have devastated our cultures and our family life. This must come to an end, the 1992 report said. 33 years later, the changes the 1992 report called for are gradually underway. Other reports also reference the harms caused by the child welfare system, including the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's calls to action, the Royal Commission on Aboriginal Peoples, and the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls. Grand Chief Ed Johns' 2016 National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls on Indigenous Child Welfare in British Columbia also explored these harms in depth and recommended supporting Indigenous families to stay together and supported full Indigenous jurisdiction over children. So, this is, like I mentioned, a part of a whole series by journalist Tracy Sherlock. And if you visit their website, Spotlight Child Welfare, you will read different perspectives from different, parts of the child welfare system, from lived experience like Jessica in this article, to professionals and researchers who've been doing this work for a long time, as well as allies to those of us with lived experience. So what do you guys think?
I'm always excited to see Jess. I was like, as soon as I saw her picture on the screen, I was like, I know that beautiful face. I definitely recommend checking out the article online to see this beautiful picture because it is beautiful Jess with a beautiful BC background in a tie-dye shirt and her ribbon skirt, picking medicines, looking ever sacred and just ever fabulous. So check it out. And I love the perspective. As soon as you said the title, it takes a child to raise a village, it just like it clicked. It's like, yes, actually, because the village comes together for the child. And I really love, and I love that they're doing this this series as well. Do we know if the tea is like, I don't know really anything about the mind. We're probably all saying it wrong, and it's probably this like really niche pronunciation, but are they indigenous owned? Do we know if they are?
I don't believe they are, but I don't know too for sure. They actually so they started this series, if not last year, then just before in 2023, and they were here meeting with young people with lived experience last spring, because they wanted to ask folks about their experience of sharing their story with the media, and what tips can they be giving to me their media peers about engaging young people or folks with lived experience in these interviews, like telling their story in a safe way, providing support and resources after sharing. Like they wanted to hear from the youth and care community, how they could meaningfully share these stories. So I'm glad it didn't just stop with one focus group last spring, and that they're putting what they heard into action for this series.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I could just keep going on. Daniel, do you have any thoughts on, you've never gotten to meet Jess, and you will one day, and she's fabulous, but yeah,
Yeah, I
have
wish I get a chance to meet Jess, 'cause yeah, that would be a very good experience, and yeah, get to know more about our youth in around the community, and yeah, just like what Marie shared, like I really am glad that like more and more like let's say like organizations are raising up like the voice from our youth to more public like aspect, and that yeah, I love seeing progress. So yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, that's true. And then also, I thought it really tied into our UNDRIP, right, for this week, about have Indigenous people having the right to practice and revitalize their culture, traditions, and customs.
Yes.
I think that really is brought to life through Indigenous governing bodies developing their own child well-being system. So I'm glad that, and I'm glad because they quoted that report from 1992.
Yes.
That is a good reminder for us that change doesn't always happen instantaneously. Those authors who made those recommendations 33 years ago, hopefully they're still alive today. I don't know, where in
Yeah.
their life cycle they were, but they, as Jaina likes to say, they planted a seed for a tree under whose leaves they may never sit. So our job, when we share our story or when we make recommendations, we have to realize that the change may not happen in a way that directly impacts us, but change will come. Don't lose hope.
Yeah, Rome is not built in one day.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, let's take a song break. You're listening to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM. And when we come back, we're going to just wrap up our theme of new beginnings. But first, we're going to take a look at, again, because it's really important for you to know, everything Children's Special Allowance. We want to make sure you have the facts, and then we can move forward.
I see you at a crossroads, and I know I've been through a lot, and trust me, I've been there before. You are worth more. Life's a series of questions, don't you know? We all choose our paths and destinies, and that's how it goes. Which way will you go? Ooh.
right, and we're back. Thank you for tuning in to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM. So, as Marie mentioned before the song break, we're going to talk everything special allowance. I know we are probably just repeating everything you're hearing everywhere, but I think it's so important that this information is widespread and accessible and that you're getting the right information, because there's also a lot of misinformation out there. So we're just going to quickly talk about some things about the CSA, and then we're going to talk about there was a CSA expo on January 21st. We had mentioned that last week briefly. Daniel, Marie, myself, we were all there, and we would love to just share what our experience was at the expo. And so, yeah. And, you know, I think this really all ties in well to our idea and our theme of new beginnings, because it's kind of a new beginning in several ways with the CSA settlement. You know, it's a new beginning for many young people who have experienced unfairness from the system that they, you know, were, I think it's fair to say, a victim of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this settlement is a new beginning as well for turning the leaf of what we did was wrong. They're acknowledging that it was wrong. They're making, you know, steps to repair that and to reconcile that. And then we can move forward with a new beginning of there. That isn't happening now in the child welfare system. You know, they did it in the past. They recognize that. They're making their compensation for that, making amends for that. But right now, our kids today are not facing that same inequity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beginning. So, key points to cover about the compensation. And I just want to quickly touch on what the heart of the CSA settlement is. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's a lot of folks that are really like, and I guess maybe content warning, the CSA brings up a lot of hard feelings, a lot of trauma that we went through, a lot of big emotions about that, and acceptance of what we went through and what happened in care is really, really hard to come to terms with.
Yeah.
I think it is worth saying that the CSA settlement is for specifically the funds that were clawed back from the government, the provincial government of Manitoba, mm-hmm. from the child and family services agencies. If you experienced discrimination, human rights violations, trauma, abuse, neglect while you were in care, that's a separate claim from this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difficult topic to kind of talk about. I'm trying to tread lightly here, but it's not to say that your trauma isn't valid. Your experience in care and your feelings about your experience in care don't matter, and they're not worth some sort of healing and compensation towards that. This just isn't the avenue for that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the ability to get in contact with a lawyer and talk about your case and to go through those things if you want to seek private compensation. But the CSA is specifically about money that was clawed back and the opportunities that were missed for young people while they didn't have access to that funds. Mm-hmm. Some not having, you know, proper clothing, winter gear, opportunity to do sports, extracurriculars, music lessons, choir, band, you know, travel to powwows out at your reservation or things like that. These were all missed opportunities because there wasn't funding for those types of things. And that was due to the CSA clawback. So I just want to recommend some supports right away, because talking about this can bring up some big feelings, and hearing about, you know, what's going on and some of the information can also bring up some big feelings. So if you're having any big feelings about the CSA, your experience in care, and you want to reach out to someone, there's a couple here that have been listed on the CSA website. And we also know and love, well, I know of two of them, I will be completely honest. The first one is the Clinic Crisis Line. That's Clinic with a K. You can call them at 204-786-8686. or 1-877-435-7170. That's toll free. Again, their number is 204-786-8686, and you can find them online as well. If you just type clinic with a K into Google, it will pop up for you. First one. The second one is the First Nations and Inuit Hope for Wellness Helpline. It's toll free at 1-855-242-3310. Again, that's 1-855-242-3310, and that's toll free. I don't have a whole lot of information on that one, but I would say if CSA website is recommending them, then they, you know, are the people to talk to. And again, there's always Kids Help Phone. We love Kids Help Phone, tried and true. I've used it many times myself as a kid because they've been around forever. You can text CONNECT, CONNECT, to 686868, or you can also call 24/7 1-800-668-6868. Okay, so just quick little brief key details, facts about the CSA settlement. Marie had mentioned earlier that you can apply online or paper form. I know I mentioned last week, but it bears repeating, the online form is the quickest way to go, but it is probably the most difficult way. I haven't really, like, I didn't submit a paper form. I submitted an online one. I looked at the paper form. It is a little bit different, but still kind of similar, but they word it differently. But it's difficult, and it's okay if you're struggling with it. I struggled with it. We have all struggled with forms online because it's not always clear and concise, and that's okay. So give us a call, or you can give the CSA folks a call. They're probably super duper busy. So, you know, if you're a System Kids member, exclusive information here, call us at Voices 204-982-4956, and we can help you with your claim, because it's kind of a pain in the butt. But you can go online to the csasettlement.com. And you can find all of the information, how to submit a claim, and everything there. Okay. I'm trying to think of, like, the biggest points to kind of mention here, because we've talked about this so much. So mainly the dates, I think, are the biggest ones. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah. So you have to have been in care between 2005 and 2019, and provincial, not federal. So for young people who were in care, or for folks with lived experience who were in care during those times, 2005 and 2019, but you were on reserve, so you were under federal care, then the children's special allowance would not apply to you. For anyone who was in provincial care, so for example, you were living in any of the cities or towns in Manitoba, even the small rural towns, then it would apply to you. But the best way to know is just apply, because you may have moved between agencies when you were young and didn't know the difference. So rather than exclude yourself because you lived on reserve and you don't think that you were under provincial care, just apply anyway.
Yes. And I love that the representative at the Empowerment Expo for the Exchange Group was talking about, you know, and if there's any extra funds at the end, they might be able to broaden kind of that term based off of your situation. So apply. There's no harm in applying. You have lots of supports that'll help you fill out those papers. It is worth your while to just apply and see what happens, because there's so many factors that we could not know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I love at the expo that Mike was really talking about how he appreciates how the Exchange Group has taken a really hands-on approach to helping young people find out all that information. You can submit an incomplete claim, and that does not exclude your eligibility. Most places, we know if you submit a form and it's not completed, they send it back and they say, nope, you need to fill this out properly and then resubmit it. these folks will take their time to reach out and say, hey, there's some missing information here. How can we help assist you to track down and locate the proper information? So for me, I panicked trying to find my marriage certificate because I don't have it framed on my wall or anything. You know, it's in a pile of papers somewhere with more papers, and I had to sift through, and it was causing me a lot of stress. And to know that I could have submitted my claim without that marriage certificate for my name change, handed in, completed together, and they would have taken steps and efforts. You know, I was talking with him at the expo, and we were just talking about how if I needed that document and I didn't have that document, would you help me find that document? And if there's associated fees for that document, like to get a new marriage license or a new birth certificate, it's $65. Is there help available to getting those documents? Yes, there is. There is a help and support available for you in every step of your CSA claim journey.
Very good. I really appreciated when he mentioned if you receive the response and you feel like the amount that you're being quoted is low, that you can challenge it.
Yes. Yes. I really appreciated that as well. And you can, case by case is, I think, like, should be the 3-word slogan for the CSA settlement. Case by case. Every single one of us are different individuals with different experiences, different backgrounds, different contributing factors. You know, if you feel that your number is unfair or too low, or that you have a special case, like I heard someone talk about being diabetic and not getting proper health care and having long-term health care related issues. If that's something that applied to you and you feel that that's relevant because you have lifelong effects from something that wasn't cared for due to lack of funding, you can challenge that. If you feel that you need, you know, extra costs to cover therapy or things like that, you can challenge that and you can talk with them about that. So they're there, they're willing to talk, they're willing to listen. And I really appreciate that because most settlements are cut and dry, right? Here's your number, that's it. You got an appeal, but like nothing's going to happen with that appeal.
I love how the exchange group are handling how they allocate the money. Because they mentioned, like, when you first get your check, it will be just 85% of what you should get, so that they can make sure everyone have, like at least, like, a good portion of their money. And I think they're, yeah, I trust that they're stewarding the money well. And, yeah, which is also helpful, like, to know, like, oh, this amount is just 85%. So that's the chance you get more, like, the rest or even, yeah. So, yeah, I think it's, yeah, I love how they handling, yeah, this, yeah, allocations.
Yeah.
And the trust option as well was really cool, hey?
Yes.
That you can have it in a trust. And even if you're over 18, you can ask to have it put in a trust that will still collect interest, and they can pay you a monthly payment. So that, you know, if you're like myself and you're not great with lump sums, that might be something better to help sustain your living and to help sustain that protect that investment for your future. So the maximum amount, if you were in a non-Indigenous agency from the very beginning all the way to the very end of that claim period, you would be eligible for around $86,000. That is maximum claim amount. I have heard a lot of misinformation in community about how some folks can receive up to hundreds of thousands of dollars. That is not the case. The maximum claim you would be eligible for is $86,000, and that is if you are the entire claim period. It is a specific number curated off of the time you were in care plus interest plus damages. So it's really complicated how it gets converted, but basically what you need to know is if you were in care for 12 months because you were apprehended in the middle of the month or even in the beginning of the month, you were only eligible for CSA settlement for the 11 of those 12 months, because the first 30 days of you being in care, your parents would have received your CSA as their child tax benefit originally, what it's intended as. And I know we had talked very briefly about federal and a provincial. One thing I would like to mention is on the website, it talks about what federal children mean. So it's A, has or is eligible for Indian status under the Indian Act. And at least one of those parents or guardians are normally resident on reserve at the time the child enters care. Just because your parent was residing on reserve does not mean their permanent address was on reserve. That was something that was brought up that I thought was really interesting, because I could go and stay with my auntie in Brandon and live there for the next 3 years. But if I don't change my legal address, then technically I would have been a resident of Winnipeg, because that's where. So that's fraud. First off, I shouldn't have done that. But
I was like, where is she going?
Yes, no, that is entirely fraud, and that's a whole other separate issue. But you don't know what your parents' situation was like and what they were doing with their address or where they were located when you entered in care. So maybe you were taken into care off reserve, but maybe their residing address wasn't on reserve. So again, just apply. It's very complicated, but just apply.
Just apply. Let the people who've been spending years sorting this out, let them sort it out.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so that's it. I just want to give a huge shout out, though, about the CSA Empowerment Expo. Just very basic. We loved it. It was great. The community booths were amazing. Everyone was engaging. The keynotes, Amanda Gauthier, and the exchange group were just fantastic. But voices, warm, appreciated, heartfelt gratitude to MACCP, REACH, Futures Forward, and SEED for an exchange group for putting this all together. And like a personal thank you to Jen and Cynthia for pulling this through and supporting their team. I don't know how many times I've called both of them crying, being like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. Oh my goodness, there's so much. And they were there. They pulled this off flawlessly. They supported their team flawlessly. And they made their community so proud with their commitment to informing their network with all of the information they need to be, you know, aware in this journey. I would call it a journey.
Thank you.
mic over to Daniel, because Daniel has a new beginning of his own. He has joined the Voices team, and he has been an amazing addition, and just like the best coworker I could ever ask for and teammate I could ever dream of having. But he's not an alumni of CARE. There's a lot of similarities, but this is a new beginning for him, the Youth in CARE community. And I hope we've treated him well and we haven't given him the whole foster kid scare off yet, because he's still here and he's still stuck around. So Daniel, we've got 5 minutes left. Can you share any tips or any advice or your experiences of your new beginning of entering the Child in CARE?
For sure, yeah. I will make it simple, like three tips for whoever is new to in CARE community from experience. So the first thing I find it helpful would be listen first and speak later. Because when you're approaching the community with an open heart and listen to their story without judgment, it does help building trust and show that you are there to understand, instead of trying to fix something or impose something that you believe in. And often just being present and show that you care, I believe that is really powerful, more powerful than just offering some immediate solutions. Just, listen and build trust. And the second one I think is helpful would be offering support without pressuring. Because I think it's important to give the youth the space to engage on the terms that is of their own. Because I don't like to be pushed, and I think I shouldn't push people to open up if they're not ready, and also avoiding rushing into attempts to help them. For sure we want to help people, we want to give solutions and advice, but I think we should respect boundaries. And when you do offer support, it is very important to make sure you're doing it in a way that the youth feels is empowering them, instead of being pushed into some solutions. So I guess that's important. Yeah, offer support, but make sure you respect the boundaries and not pushing. And the last one, I love this one. It is called educate yourself. I have to mention, on my first day, which is around 4 months ago, when I just getting my seat warmed, I received not less than 15 documents with around 400 pages from our lovely Marie. It's not about how much you read, but from this I can say it's important to get yourself familiarized with the background or things that is going on within the communities. It could be a news article, it could be a research on certain issues or things or experiments, and even a report from your partner organizations. It tells you it helps you to understand what leads to today's in CARE communities. And also with some reports or studies, it shows you what has been done that is going well or what we should change in the future. So it's micro, macro, more individual or more a generalized system issues. So when you inform, I believe that with the resources we can assess to, it helps. Because let's say when you have youth or committee members come to you or partners organization that want to do something new, you know what to offer, what resources you can redirect for them according to their needs. So I guess it do help. So educate yourselves. So this is the three things: listen first, speak later, offer support without pressuring, and educate yourself. It's the three things I think is really important for people who are new to the communities.
Awesome. Yeah, those are three great foundational rules for just community building in general and for being an ally. So thank you for being a great ally to the Youth in CARE community so far. We appreciate you.
I love the call out to Marie.
Well, and all of our students get the same treatment. The first day is hi, do you like public speaking? No? Okay, we're going to sign you up for public speaking. And here's a bunch of things to read to get yourself get yourself educated. So yeah, I'm glad that you took the time to actually hopefully read and digest and process all of those things. But that is our time for today, folks. Thank you for joining us again for this wrap-up conversation on the Children's Special Allowance and New Beginnings. This is your network, so we would love to hear from you. If you're a young person in or from care, send an email to ask@voices.mb.ca or call Voices toll-free from anywhere in Manitoba, 1-866-982-4956. Until next week, you take care of yourself.
Bye!
See you guys. Bye.